Let's chant just together. We'll chant the first verse and the second verse, and then we'll go from there. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam, the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is about know, the bond, the personnel, personal feature of the Lord, the original personality of Godhead, who is that source from which everything else comes, including the expansion as Paramatma. So, within the seat of consciousness, within the conscious awareness of the soul itself, Krishna, his presence is felt and perceived. And how long does it take? That less than that. At once, if one is good to be, one is qualified. But the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam makes one qualified. So, I want to go through the word for word first and help us to like fix the meaning so that when we hear this in the course of this, we can again and again and again, the meaning will sink in, it'll enter more deeply. The review point is that the first verse is doing what? What is the first essence of the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Deciding what is the absolute truth. And it discloses Krishna is that absolute truth. Swami Bhagavan Krishna is that absolute truth. And yeah. And one offers one's full attention, undivided worship, love, and full attention, as in Gayatri Dhimahi. That's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. The second verse we discussed last night. What is this Srimad Bhagavatam? And what does the Srimad Bhagavatam do? And what the Srimad Bhagavatam does is it discloses the highest essence form of Dharma, distinguished from that which covers the essence in the name of religion. And this Bhagavatam completely takes out all that, meaning alone, dharma, puro dharma. And it describes the process of receiving it, how to best receive it. That's what we discussed last night from Srimad Prabhupada's report. Now we'll go through it again, word for word. So, these verses, by the way, are very good verses to memorize. Some of you have memorized them. You don't need a sheet to look on. And you hear them again and again and again and again. It's not just recitation, but it's assimilation. It becomes part of how you experience the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, how you regard the book. Grantha Raj, the king of scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like friendship and then love. As you come to know more and more about some really wonderful person, you may feel a friendly disposition towards that person, more and more it has to be affection and love for that person. Bhagavatam becomes like that in the life of one who associates with Bhagavatam regularly, especially in the right manner. And this verse discloses that. So, here we go. The first phrase, Dharma Koji Kaita Mostra, in the verse, Atra appears three times. And in Sanskrit, when there's repetition, what does that tell us? Pay attention, it's very important. Repetition. to the personality of God, because all other forms of karma are meant to bring one to that. One makes devotion unto the personality of Godhead in such a manner that pratita. Pratita is a strong word. It's not only jitta, but it's projita. Completely kicked out, completely annihilated. Like, just like Krishna is ajita, and the living entity is jitta. Living entity is conquered, and Krishna is never conquered. So, projita, completely eliminated. Dharma that's completely devoid of kaitava. Mentioned this yesterday. Kaitava, Prabhupada is summarily called it cheating religiosity, or covered with fruitive intention. Because the living entity in this world, well, we wouldn't be in this world if we didn't have fruitive intention. What is fruitive intention? It's due to contact with devoted passion, is wanting to be the enjoyer. It's the enjoying separately from Krishna spirit. It's not just, you know, go get a job and make a lot of money, that's fruit of intention. That's, big part of fruit of intention. But fruit of intention is far more subtle and pervasive. It's being an enjoyer of anything, being separately from Krishna. Like being the enjoyer of a little success in devotional service. Because we're so prone. It's like a stain that won't go away. Had that experience, something you just scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and look at it, it's still there, you scrub and you scrub and it's still there, scrub and scrub and it's still there. It's like, trying to make clean air in Los Angeles or something. How do you remove the junk in the air in Los Angeles? Smog. Take it back to the cleaner. Well, how do you take the smog out of the air? Well, how do you take the fruitive tendency away from the living being? It's pervasive. It's pernicious. It's so persistent. The Bhagavatam kicks it out completely. Pranjita. Kaitavo, tra, with herein, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it declares, not only declares war, it's victorious. Pinned to the mat, in the count of ten, gone. Finished. From the outset, it's like a declaration. Do-do-do-do, hear ye. Anybody that wants to advance in fruitive activities, don't bother. Because we're not going to talk about it at all. Do, 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 do. Kick out. Strongly. And the Bhagavatam is strong. The language of the Bhagavatam. Some places where it's mild. Mainly very strong. Absolutely strong. I'm emphasizing the point because very important. This Srimad Bhagavatam is only dealing with part of Dharma, and anything else is out. Paramo nirmasaranam sitam. Paramo, supremely. So speaking of sitam, sitam means devotees. And nirmasara is describing those devotees. Those devotees who, they're devoid of selfishness. That's one of the definitions that's used. Devoid of selfishness. What's selfishness? Me. I'm a dissenter. Krishna may be in the picture. Krishna may be not in the picture. But you know who is at the center. Numero uno is at the center. That's me. Selfishness. Completely devoid of selfishness. What's that? Not avoidance. not in a person of us. It's pure devotee. Well, Krishna is at the center. And my business, my program, my existence is Krishna's pleasure. No selfishness to me. Or completely pure in heart is another nirvatsara. It's the next word. We say pure devotion. So nirvatsara satam. Think of pure devotee. Think of Srila Prabhupada. Think of Srila Vinaya Goswami. Or take your favorite, pure devotee. Nirvatsara satam. Parama nirvatsara saranam satam. It's readily approached, it's fully received by those persons. Further, we're going to hear in the commentary by Vishnu Thakur. Supposing someone doesn't have that qualification, are they like told, get off the bus? You can't touch the Srimad Bhagavatam until you get to that stage. It's just like, you know, they like, get up. Not like that. It's, the Bhagavatam is such that it qualifies one to become Nirmatsaranam Siddham. It's so glorious. This Bhagavatam is so glorious. It brings one to that qualification. And those that have that qualification can receive the full message. So that's now Vedyam Vastavam Patra Vastu Shivadam Patatrayam Vulanam. Vedyam. What does Veda mean? Knowledge. So Vedyam means understandable, or one can receive that knowledge. It's understandable. Vedyam Vastavam. You want to hear more from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about Vastavam. Vastavam means factual. Remember yesterday we discussed about the distinction between substance and category? So that's where this word is the flag for that one. Factual. Substantial, like, you know, not ephemeral, not manifest and then unmanifest. Like, you know, for example, a good quality in a non-devotee. The language of the Bhagavatam is heavy. The language of the Bhagavatam says, a measured devotee, no good qualities. No good qualities. Wait a minute, I know some people that have some very nice qualities that are not devotees. So how can you say no good qualities? And the answer is, wait a while. Let time and the modes of nature do their thing, and that good quality disappears. So what's the basis and support? How does that good quality make its appearance? It's ephemeral. It's a will of the wisp. It's like a reflection of light in darkness. That's one of the chakra smoking verses in the second canto, chapter 9. It's a reflection of the real thing. But turn the mirror slightly, and the reflection is gone. The real thing is still there. But the reflection is gone. It's category, it looks like you were giving this example last night, a chair. Look like a chair. Wait a while. Then it becomes ashes. Or a piece of garbage in the junk. What was it before? It was something else. So it's category, chair. But where is there substance? Like it doesn't change. Like the quality, a real quality, a real devotee, devotional quality, it doesn't change. It doesn't arise out of circumstance and disappear due to circumstance. It's sat. It's eternal. It's substantial. Or vastavam. It's factual. Distinguished from not real. Or insubstantial. Or category. Or now you see it, now you don't. This vastavam establishes within the heart those qualifications. Just by hearing it. Well, there's a qualification of how you hear it too, but that comes toward the end. So, Deyam Vastavam. Atra Vastu. Atra, there it is again. Herein, or this Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra. Vastu, what does vastu mean? Vastu is an kind of like a categorical word that in English might mean stuff. And like, you know, a parent might say to their child, can you take this stuff and put it back where it belongs in the room? Vastu. Substance. So we're going to hear in Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary the distinction between substance which is enduring and substance which is not enduring. And that substance which is not enduring, which is generally what Vastu refers to, is removed. Tapatrayam Bhuvanam. And it brings in Shivadam. Atra Vastu, Shivadam, Papatrayam Bhuvanam. Here's a nectar of devotion question. And how many here have studied nectar of devotion? Okay. Chapter 1 of nectar of devotion. What's the title of the chapter? Characteristics of devotional service. In that chapter 1, there are 6 characteristics of devotional service. What are the first 2 characteristics of devotional service that are mentioned in chapter 1? Shivadaya. What does it say in English? The devotional service is like, you know, what does devotional service do? What is it and what does it do? It brings in, it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. In Sanskrit, the term is shubha. Da. It brings or gives auspiciousness. Shivadam. And what's the other one? Next one? Besides Krishabdi, what is it in English? Extinguishes all material miseries and suffering. Devotional service. Our acharyas describe that the topics of the topics of nectar devotion are 3. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Even in the sadhana bhakti stage, these 2, auspiciousness is invoked just by devotional service. Just like, you know, our children sitting here and taking notes and paying attention to the Shrimad-Bhagavatam class. And the adults. And just hearing is one, is the beginning. Shravana. It awakens auspiciousness. And Shubhada, or Shivada, Shivada, it brings in auspiciousness. And Klesha. Klesha means it eradicates kleshas or sufferings or miseries. Or tapatrayam mulanam. Mulanam, the root, it uproots the threefold miseries of material existence. So what's being said here? Sit here, that's what we're doing this morning. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Just be a little attentive. I mean, be a little more than a little attentive, but even just be a little attentive. And those things are happening. We're not like, you know, cleaning up with our broom and, you know, make cleaning up the mess and bringing in, you know, auspiciousness. Apparently, but we are. Because the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're giving attention to, accomplishes that. Just like oral reception. Just like giving active oral reception while we're passively sitting here. Neyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayam unanam. Factually, not here today and gone tomorrow or gone to the next moment, just like turn the kaleidoscope and the whole picture changes. Or turn the mirror and reflection. It's not a reflection. It doesn't arise out of material circumstance or get crushed by material circumstance. If we're engaging in the hearing process properly, there are natural qualities of the soul and those natural qualities awaken by the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're going to hear Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes Krishna from the Uddhava Gita portion of the Bhagavatam saying that there's nothing else that does the same thing. There's nothing else that does the same thing. And he gives 10 different possibilities and says none of these do the same thing. And they're all high-grade activities recommended to the Vedas. They don't do the same thing. They don't do the same thing. Because it's not just the bad things are removed, but the good things become fully established. The inherent quality of the soul. And moreover, we're not downloading here, Krishna makes his sudden appearance, like, immediately. Next line. Srimad Bhagavate Maha Muni Krite Kimba Haraya. So, we know what Srimad Bhagavate means. It's just like when we're calling Radha, we say Radhe. Or we're calling Hara, we say Hare, the vocative. So, Srimad Bhagavate, oh, Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahamuni Krite. Krite. It was done by Mahamuni. Srila Vyasa hit the mature stage of his realization. Prabhupada has added that. And he's already krite, he's already compiled all of Vedas. And not fully satisfied. So in the mature stage, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavate, Mahamuni krite, Kimba Paraya. Kimba means, what does it mean? Paraya. Any other. Kimba Paraya. Ishwaraha. And Ishwaraha is connected with the next line. Satya Vidhi Avarudhyate Drakritabhi Shushu Shuri Dakshana. Satya. There's a different word than satya. It's satya. Satya means at once. Instantly. So what happens instantly? Hridi avarudhyate. Hridi, within the heart. Avarudhyate. I want to hear further. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expand on this word avarudhyate. But it means captured and made compact within the heart. Krishna. Ishwara. Sri Krishna. That person who was spoken of in the first verse. Who is the absolute truth. From whom everything comes. He's captured. And he's compactly, intimately, and confidentially secured within the heart, brought under control. He emphasizes how you bring Krishna under control. Mother Yasoda brought Krishna under control. How did she bring Krishna under control? Her love. all. To the point where Lord Vishnu said, I don't have any independence. I can't, Brahmasmuni, I can't do what you're asking. I can't do anything without the permission, the sanction, and the okay of my devotees. Completely under, I'm under his control completely. You have to ask him, probably with every sense. Arjuna brought Krishna under control. Arjuna, Krishna, can you drive my chariot over here? Arjuna, can you drive my chariot over there? Under Arjuna's control. What's that quality or substance? What's the fame, the entity that brings Krishna under control? Prema. So he's saying, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary explains, indirectly Krishna is indicating, Prema Bhakti is delivered by the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. What we're doing this morning, trying, working, cultivating this morning, and in our life as devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam carefully. Prema awakens within the heart, in the mature stage. And when prema awakens, satya, hriti anurujate, Krishna becomes controlled and captured and compactly, very tightly held within the heart. Now here's this word, mantra again. It's another here in this Srimad Bhagavatam. It awakens prema bhakti. That Krishna then manifests himself at once within the heart. That is, again, our awareness becomes awakened. That readily. This Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful. Krittani. Shushu Shuri Tat Shana Krittani indicates the quality of a devotee, a qualified person. A person, one of the definitions or translations is by pious men. By pious men doesn't mean like a good Boy Scout or something. Yes, it's a transcendental piety, that type. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes their different categories or standards or levels of piety. And there's piety that increases one's capacity for fruitive elevation and enjoyment. There's piety that assists one to achieve liberation. And there's piety that connects one with the personality of God, that kind of piety. So just by regularly hearing, even if one doesn't have that qualification, by regularly hearing, that qualification becomes established, one becomes a krittani. If, and perhaps the most important word in the whole verse is this next one, shushushunis. It's describing in one word the process, effective process, of devotional service. It's by proper hearing of the Bhagavatam's message. Shushushuni means by attentive and submissive hearing. Or Prabhupada is also used in translation by culture. By culture. And by culture it indicates, like we visited the home yesterday of one of the congregation members where their daughter, since she was 5 years old, she was practicing classical dance. She's now 16, she graduated, and is now a very qualified dancer. So one sense of culture is dance. And we have cultural performances. We use that term, cultural performances, or it's a cultural center. And what is a cultural center? You make presentations of cultural things. Dance, drama, music, art, architecture, those are cultural presentations. But another sense of culture is the way that Rupa Goswami uses the word culture or cultivation, as in his definition, anyabhivashtrishnyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyanyan Anushila is also culture or cultivation, where I'm down here, my goal is up there. I don't feel bad that I'm down here, but I'm aspiring by careful and deliberate and systematic culture or cultivation. I want to come to the stage of purity. So, shushushudhi means by culture, by regular, attentive, and submissive hearing. Shushushudhi. Tat-shanat. It's very similar to sadhya. It means at once. But they're twice in two different terms. But at once, Krishna becomes established. At once means we're going to hear further. This is not just what he talked about, scientists, but it means even neophytes like, you know, like us, just beginning in the practice of this very wonderful, amazing process of devotional service. Even for those that don't have faith, Krishna manifests his mercy. He manifests himself in a very merciful way so that one feels encouraged and inspired to go forward. We all have, I'm sure, without exception, we have all had that experience. Krishna, using Prabhupada's example, he draws back the curtain. He gives us some indication, some encouragement. I'm there. The curtain is closed, but we know he's there. The process is real. Krishna is real. We can connect with Krishna to give that mercy. Personally, not indirectly, directly, personally. The process is very personal. So we're touching at once. So now I'm going to spend a little time going through how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expands the meaning of the verse and probes different terms and comes out with jewels, gold, and diamond, and very precious appreciations, relishes of the topic of Bhagavatam. And I'll frame it this way. All of this, going back to the very first day, so this is a theme I want to present, it will help us to chant japa better. It will help us to associate with Krishna's holy name better. All of this is a faith nurture to bring us to a more intimate quality of associating with Krishna through calling him his holy name. How should the Bhagavatam come and the chanting of the holy name work hand in hand? They completely resonate with purpose. Because the means of deliverance for this age is the chanting of the holy name. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us get there. So, quality, chanting of the holy name, associating with Krishna in the form of his holy name, in a very loving, intimate mood. So first he goes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes through the words, word for word, as I did, and comes to the conclusion that through this Srimad Bhagavatam, when properly heard, by quality personalities, the prithivi personalities, persons who have no qualification, and that main qualification is faith, because through faith, all other good qualities will come. Krishna will decorate with one of those good qualities. But what is Prabhupada? Nirmansara. Free from selfishness. Having Krishna's interest alone. When such a person hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, prema arises and Krishna becomes controlled. Because he likes to be in the atmosphere where there's love. It's not selfishness at his part. It's just completely natural. He wants to be where there's love. And he quotes a verse from Uddhava Gita where Krishna uses the same word, avarudhya. And what does avarudhya mean? Brought under control and placed in compact form within. Krishna says the same thing to Uddhava. Oh Uddhava, only by associating with my pure devotees, satsanga, can one destroy material attachment and attain me. Avarudhya. And because what happens when there's association with Krishna's pure devotees? You know, Rupa Goswami, Adama Shaka, Akasa, Sadhu Sankha. That's what you do when you're in association of pure devotees. You do bhajan. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because that's what they do. You do with them what they do. And then the rest flows from there. The rest that flows from there culminates in you attain Krishna. Avarudhya. Then he goes on. Krishna enters the heart of even those who have suddenly developed a desire to hear. We've seen this. Someone for a long time may not take so seriously the hearing and chanting activity. But something suddenly awakens, and strong desire for hearing and chanting. And he goes on. Faith may not be so strong, they may not even know exactly why. If you ask them why, they can't say it. Just that, have this attraction. I like. So I do. In other words, their realization may not be so deep. But somehow that attraction awakens. Krishna at once, even an immature devotee, Krishna's presence, he makes himself present in the heart of that devotee. That's what Krishna Chandravati Thakur was saying. This Bhagavatam is so auspicious that someone can somehow or another just put that in your life. Since they develop the desire to hear from that moment, even before having faith, it means that they develop prema simply by hearing Bhagavatam. Then how much more quickly they would develop prema if they began hearing with faith. Then he makes that statement and then immediately goes to the chanting of the holy name because the same can be said about the chanting of the holy name. Somehow persons become attracted to the holy name. Some persons don't also. But some persons become attracted. I remember when Bhakta was in regularly coming to our temple. He had this thing for the Panchatattva Mantra. He used to go around singing and saying and in between sentences recite Panchatattva Mantra. He just had his attraction. He liked it. He described how he liked it and then would repeat it again. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Krishna Krishna Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. He just liked it. He didn't have any deep realization what it meant. But for sure, that person would become purified. Even one can be attracted in a biblical fashion to the holy name. If you had anecdotal stories of persons in my early days of Krishna consciousness that were inimical. They were nasty. And one of the things that they were attracted to in their nastiness was the chanting of the holy name, and they became purified. Just by that being fixed in disliking the holy name, they became purified. The stories are very nice. I'll tell one story. One was from the Chicago airport. It was 1975. During the airport days, airport distribution days, I spent the Christmas marathon, the book distribution marathon in Chicago, going out every day with the airport party. You can read about it in the Lamentation, you know, it was wild. It was wild in a number of ways. One was the volume of books to be distributed every day was amazing. I mean, we went out, the van arrived at the airport party. We unloaded, you know, like 8, 10 cases, 12 cases of hardcover books. And you know, this devotee distributed 50, that devotee distributed 70. That devotee distributed 40. That devotee distributed 100. I mean, every day. I remember it was such an intense situation that the workers, the airport employees, would come out and watch the devotees. Just amazed at how the folks were flying out. As many of them became very envious. One of them became so envious that he took his hooded employee thing over his face, and when Prabhuj was right in the middle of distributing the book to somebody, he came and punched him right in the face. Blood all over. And Tripurar jumped on the guy. You know, he ran. His other, because it was all orchestrated, the other employees kind of distracted the devotees. And he escaped. We didn't even know which employee it was. It was intense. It was battle. And there was a man, you know, the configuration of how all the airport setup is different now, but there's all the security stuff, but there was a man who would stand at where people would come out of the exit and prevent the people that were going in from going in there, and they had to go around the side. So he stood there and watched the whole thing. He was like, you know, like an umpire or something, a referee. And he would come out, and whenever we were close enough to him, he would leave his, you know, referee spot and come running over and yell at the people, "Don't take this book, it's terrible, take the book." Snatch it out of their hand and jump up and down on the book. He was a demon. By the end of that marathon, he completely turned around. He, just by his association with devotees and hearing, because we would go by him and, you know, chant, Hare Krishna, and go back to the spot. By the end, he was doing just the opposite. When people were hesitating to take a book, "Take that book, it's wonderful." Now his madness of demeanor didn't change. His eccentricities didn't change. But his being inimical to Krishna completely turned around. Just in association with the body. That's what makes sense to us. So the chanting of Krishna's holy name acts in the same way. Somehow or another, somehow, even by bad attitude, somehow or another, we don't want that. We want good attitude. But we can somehow become attracted to the holy name. He quotes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Padma Purana. Some of you know this verse. Madhura madharam ekand mangalam mangalam anam. Sakala nigavabhani sat kalam chit svarupam sa krit api pari gitam shakaya helaya gurgavara naravatam kaviya krishnam narama. So the name of Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest, the most auspicious of all auspicious things, the highest fruit of the tree of all the Vedas, and is composed entirely of pure consciousness. This is the name Krishna, name of Krishna. Oh, Master of the Bhrigu dynasty, heard once with faith or in negligence. That's what this word, Hela. Hela Namabhas. That was a Ajahnila. His chanting was Hela Namabhas. It's Namabhas, but it's Hela Namabhas. It's that kind of Namabhas where he had no intention at all to call Mahari, the personality of Godhead. He had an intention to call his son, who happened to be called Mahari. So unintentional chanting of the holy name. Unintentional. Like many stores in India, it's changing, but previously, many stores had the name Krishna something, Gopal something, something something, with the name of the Lord. That's this Hela Namabhas. There's not the intention of calling Krishna. I remember years ago, I went for a job to walk at the Jubilee Temple. You go out the front gate of the Jubilee Temple, make a left. And at least there was long ago, there was like a little square, go far enough in the little square, there's a tree, so they left the tree right in the middle of the road. And there was a little smoke shop right by that tree, because it was there, they left it there. Krishna smoke shop. People don't go to Krishna smoke shop and think of Krishna. Krishna smoke shop. Hela Namabhas. But by having that Krishna smoke shop, it's according to what Padma Purana says, it can deliver one from tapatrayonbhuvanam, from the threefold miseries of material existence, and begin auspiciousness in their life. Krishna smoke shop. We don't advise you to set up a store called Krishna smoke shop. But even yet, so what to speak of where there's faith. And the Bhagavatam works that way also. There's inconceivable and extraordinary power within the Srimad Bhagavatam, because after the holy name, Nityasarva Shaktis, all of Krishna's spiritual potencies are within his holy name. The literary form of Krishna's saying, all spiritual potency is there. Prabhupada once said in our days of book distribution that he was championing, he said if even if people just touch the book, he was saying if they open the book and read one page, if they just read one word, if they just touch the book, so auspicious, so powerful, then what there are five most potent forms according to Rupa Goswami. One of them is this regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's four others. I'm sure our everything's comes here to see how this comes, what those other four others are. Residing in the sacred place, the holy Dhamma. Chanting of the holy name. Associating with the devotees of the Lord. Worshipping Radha Madhava. Worshipping the deity form of the Lord. These five activities are so potent that if one can do even one of them without offense, at once, bhava bhakti will arise within the heart. Yes, we're offensive, or not yet at that stage of free from offense. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, in relation to this verse, the verse from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu shows that the mind becomes fixed in the Lord. This is the highest attainment for the human being. And the Lord, becoming captured by the mind, cannot be. That imprisonment occurs immediately. This means even without faith. Somehow, this has the power to attract the human completely. This Srimad Bhagavatam, that's this word, Ekana. This Srimad Bhagavatam should thus be understood to be a great science. And if the two words, Satya, and Kritami, those of you that have the verse, is the last line, Satya, Sindhya Avarujitetra, Kritami. If we combine these two, Satya and Kritami, it means that Krishna is brought under control immediately for those who are accomplished, or qualified, or Kritami at once. Whereas it happens after a slight delay for those who are not so qualified. Both types of persons, accomplished and unaccomplished, are qualified to Bhagavatam. So there was this question yesterday. Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam intended for? Is it intended for the Paramahansa? Yes. Is it intended for the unqualified? Yes. Well, even more specifically, it's intended for the sinful people of the age of Kali. That was the object of Vyasa's compassion. What to do? This age of Kali is so bad. Kala this one, Asman Yumesha. Manda Sumanda Matayo. Manda Bhagya Vipadita. Oh, it's so bad. What to do? The object of his well-wishing were the victims of his age of Kali. People whose good qualities were just destroyed, snatched, pulverized, powdered. Unfortunate. Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam for such people? And it's for the Paramahamsa's tool. And naturally means everybody in between. So it's Sanya Kritani. It's for the qualified, but it's also for the unqualified. It helps make the unqualified qualified. Therefore, should the qualified name of Srimad Bhagavatam. He saw what we were. He was very clear about it. Completely unqualified. Look at this audience I have to deal with. Bringing into Boston Harbor is a rival. This place is filled with passionate ignorance and we're supposed to understand the message of pure goodness. Ay, 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 how's that going to happen? Help, Krishna. Because the Bhagavatam is a pure message. How will they understand? Only if you make my speaking empowered. And it's possible. Though Krishna makes the association of pure devotees empowered, so that he then becomes situated in the heart, even in an unqualified person, to make them qualified. This Bhagavatam is so glorious. That's what this verse is doing. It's nurturing our faith in the Bhagavatam. Properly, not by exaggeration, appropriately. So that when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, at once Krishna can appear in our heart. And when we take up the chanting of the Holy Name, similarly as our hearts are opened to receive Krishna, to be with Krishna, properly chant His Holy Name. He then goes into expanding the term tatkshana at the very end. Satya Vedi Avarujitetra Kritani Shushushunis Tatshana previously was described as without the light, immediately. No tanya, immediately. Tachana can also mean because of Krishna's or tat merriment or festival, shana, he becomes part of the devotee's heart. Since Krishna becomes supremely blissful by being trapped in the heart filled with prema, this also indicates that Krishna is happy. Tat shana. Krishna has a festival. When he sees, oh, here's this devotee who's listening so attentively, shushushubis, let me go there. It's a festival. He's happy. This result is not achieved by any other scripture or any other practice. Therefore, kimba raya, what is the meaning of anything else? Just take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So where does he go from there? There's another thing, but he starts a little section on the qualification of Vyas, because the Bhagavatam is manifest by Vyas. Of course, he did so in a spoken form through his son, Shukadeva. And the process of Bhagavatam is meant to be heard, so we hear so much about Shukadeva Goswami and his qualification. But Shukadeva got what he had from his father, Vyas. Received, revealed, have the Bhagavatam having been revealed in full by Vyas, what is to be understood in this word? Through hearing it, we don't just read it. Why we need the process that we're doing right now, just go to our homes and read it, but we're hearing it. That object which is substantial, mastavam, which is fixed in the beginning, middle, and end of time. Mastavam. It's not circumstantial. Now you see it, now you don't. This time is here and then it's gone. But it's substantial. This Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. It can be understood medium by those without selfishness. And even those who are selfish, by hearing this word, they lose their selfishness. Even the selfish will have enthusiasm for hearing it. For even such persons can understand the word. That's how merciful the Bible is. Such a high subject that it's approachable by even unqualified persons. Selfish persons, they're not necessarily going to understand everything in its fullness, but they'll understand by Krishna's mercy enough that they'll be attracted to continue and become further purified and free from selfishness. This Bhagavatam is so wonderful. This permanent object, or vastavam vastu, includes the name, form, and qualities of the Lord. His abode, such as Vaikuntha, his devotees and bhakti. Because other real objects or vastu, the things of this world, are not permanent. It should be understood that though both Vaikuntha and the material world are real, Vaikuntha is really substantial, vastava. And the material world is not. The Prabhupada has put this, we discussed this yesterday. He used the word category. That's a theme that's presenting itself once again. What the Bhagavatam is giving us is not just a buzz, a feel-good buzz, and then it fades. It's something that's an eternal asset for the soul, and the natural qualities of the soul, the purity of the soul, the substantive qualities of the soul become manifest. How merciful and how important is this? Bhagavatam. Last point. Well, how does the Bhagavatam want us to regard other, where there it seems like there's some encouragement to fluid of intention, etc. Projita. Strong. A cleansing agent that doesn't leave. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described as Sanatana Goswami, when one is on the path of renunciation, one should complete that path of renunciation, not go part of the way, one foot in two different boats trying to cross the river. That's not a good plan. You want to cross the river, put one foot in this boat and another foot in that boat. What happens? You end up in the river. You don't cross the river. Jagatananda Pandit writes this in his Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam. It is very unreasonable and ill-advised to try to cross the river by putting your 2 feet, 1 foot each in a different boat. When you take up bhakti, similarly, it should be your both feet fully. Or, so what Sanatana Goswami was keeping his nice blanket while he was on the path of renouncing his position of the servant of the king, Nava, Hussein Shah. He renounced all of that wealth and opulence and position, but was keeping a nice blanket that was given to him by his relative. So he gave that away to Mahaprabhu. He said, an expert physician doesn't just remove the worst part of the disease and leave it. He removes the disease altogether. So the material disease is meant to be completely eradicated. The Bhagavatam, Pramajita Kaitavocha, completely dismisses it. The prefix pra completely indicates that the path promising liberation is also rejected. Sakam karma, nishkam karma yoga, yad yoga, with its limbs of sense and mind control, Ashtanga Yoga, completely rejected. Bhagavatam is heavy duty. So, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, there's some strongly worded verses, we should understand why. It's delivered by Vyasadeva. Because it's of the nature of the spiritual world. It wants to take us to the spiritual world, not just to an elevated position of material enjoyment, or an elevated position of capacity to speculate on things. It wants to take us to the spiritual world directly, immediately, at once. That's the beauty and mercy of this Srimad Bhagavatam. Final comment. Repetition of Atra. Mentioned it. Here's his comment. Atra. As in Dharma approaching to kind of all Atra, or Vedam Mastavam Atra, or Sadhya Vrini Amaryujite Atra. Repetition of this word Atra, which means in this work or within the Srimad Bhagavatam, is employed for emphasis in this scripture. And not any other word. The Lord becomes controlled by the devotees. In this scripture, and not in any other word, a substantial object is presented. In this word, and no other word, the highest dharma which rejects all genius is presented. Last sentence. All other yogas are excluded in this work alone. And it should be understood that in describing what is presented only in the Bhagavatam, all things which are not yoga at all are also rejected. Nice verse. Powerful. So naturally, the next verse, which we'll discuss after breakfast, is, oh, my dear devotees, please relish. Benediction is given. Please accept the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please drink deep of this nectar. In three verses, such a nice composition. We should be sitting on the edge of our throne at rather than down again. Okay. Any comments or questions? Tina? Sachi?
What is kirtanam mean?
What is kirtanam? Chanting. Shravanam means hearing, and kirtanam means vibrating. Hearing, vibrating. Kirtanam. So we can use that word. Kirtanam means chanting, vibrating, making sound. He receives the sound and repeat that sound, broadcast the sound. Yes?
When you talk about pain and avamas, so in India everything is mixed. So for example, even meat shop would have a large name.
Sometimes.
And
that's discipline.
So people take a think that just by naming something the large name, they name their house as Balaji Vas. They think that the house is not very good and in their case. So they don't need to take the next step. So, on one hand,
you are
saying you are powerful,
but
on the other hand, you don't take the next step.
Well, you're next. You can put your hand down. Put your hand down. I'll call on you next. Okay. Let me finish this one. It's Agyata Sukriti. They may be thinking, I don't need to take the next step. Ajamio was thinking, he wasn't thinking I need to take the next step, he wasn't thinking next step, because he needs his sadhana. But it's something like making wet leaves dry, or wet wood dry. It takes a spark, and wet leaves, or it's going to be dry leaves, can ignite. Far more so than the meat shops that don't have that meat, or the homes that don't have that identification. Far more so. So like Elvis Presley, he named his place something else. Following him, Michael Jackson named his place something else. It wasn't, Christian Bobby. So it's just, been covered, further covered in illusion. It's not, it's indirect. It's unintentional. It's healing, not a box.
So when you get there, when you go to the title there, when you stop, then it's different when you go to the next step.
Yeah. But at the same time, from the Bhagavad perspective, what you're saying is absolutely right. From the broader meaning perspective, that helps them come to the stage where they can accept the association of devotees. For those who are not going to surrender to Krishna, it helps them become further qualified so they can accept the association of Krishna's devotees and that end up the association of Krishna. It's incorrect. We don't do that. We don't recommend doing that. But if someone does that, that's the indirect benefit that they receive. And through the association of devotees, then they can understand, possibly, the potential there to understand the merit of simply being shown for Krishna.
Yeah. So, my grandfather went the other way. He started with the guru and Sundar Rao. And
But that's altogether different than falling down to gross sense gratification and becoming, what the rest of the world is becoming. That means that God worships you. So, cruise around in here. See what's going on. Tight pants. The whole thing. McDonald's. The whole thing. Oh, non-tracks. This donkey's following the advanced culture of the West. Everywhere. Everywhere. Even in the Holy Hour. Everywhere. Urban, rural, holy, degraded. That safety net is there. That's a Vedic safety net. For those that were not surrendered to Krishna. For the Western personality that falls, it's a splatter. It's a free fall with jagged rocks at the bottom. There's no safety net. Yes.
What does Vishnu mean?
Could you say it again?
Vishnu.
What does Vishnu mean? Vishnu is the maintainer of the cosmic manifestation. Vishnu is the maintainer of the cosmic manifestation. Brahma creates it, but Shiva destroys it, both by the power of Vishnu. Vishnu maintains it. Yes.
It says that we assume and Bhavatam attentively and submissively. So attentively understand what kind of a mood you are in.
Think of the opposites. What's the opposite of submissive? Specifically in the commentary, but the Prabhupada's report, it's not in a challenging spirit. Another connotation of submission. Submission is like Sanatana Goswami. He came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like a blank slate. That's submission. Like, please tell me who I am. It's not that I already have an idea of who I am, and I'll accept what you say, provided it matches what I think I already am. Blank slate. Submission. And there's another connotation, and that's kumud. I'm at your feet. I'm looking like there's respect when there's submission. There can be questions and doubts and so forth, back and forth, but blind acceptance is not what submission is. There's a mood of appreciation. Respect, which has something to do with not a challenge of spirit, but it's only stated in a positive fashion. I wish to hear, put in simple language. I wish to receive from you. Submission. Pranipat from Bhagavad Gita.
Like, not as a challenging question, but just a little silly question.
Speak loud enough so that people in the back can hear.
Does it start with Sutta Goswami reciting the first verse, with the second verse talks about Vyasdev, and third one talks about Sukadev Goswami, and then Sutta
There's
Goswami.
There's no indication like that. Specifically, in our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from one of the later cantos where Vyas is the voice. Vyas is Trikalagya. So he knows what is going to happen before it happens. And Sutta is the speaker. These introductory verses is Vyas. And I'm saying that on the authority of our acharyas. Something, yes?
What is the significance of Gyatava in his maturity?
And the significance is, I mentioned it, but I'll repeat. In the fifth chapter, excuse me, the fourth chapter of Canto 1, there's a description of Vyasa compiling the Vedas. Before he compiles the Vedas, he considers, because he's Tikkara, he looks into the future. Kali Yuga has approached. Krishna has left. It's going to become so bad. I want to do something to help this bad condition. So he concludes, as a literary person, I can do this. I can take the Vedas, which are in sound form, and put them in written form. So he begins compiling, dividing, writing. And he completes all of that work. Having completed all the work, that's where the chapter 4 ends. He's feeling not satisfied. He's pondering, puzzled. Why? I just did this. Did I make some mistake? Is this a flaw? Why is this feeling of dissatisfaction? Narada comes with instruction and tells him that, just making it simple, you overemphasize. What you wrote was not wrong. You gave inordinate emphasis to persons fulfilling their primitive desires in a vague, authorized manner. So persons will think, follow the path of Pravriti Marg. Continue to increase my involvement in fulfilling material desires. So much so, you've encouraged them to act on the platform of fulfilling material desires. Not so good. That's the reason. Now you should write another literature that does just the opposite. It's just about the personality of Godhead. Without any intention of increasing the fulfillment of material desires. That's the mature stage. He then followed Narada's instructions and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam at the mature stage of his work of compiling the Vedas. Yes? What are some of the which that one should be aware of?
Some of the blockers that prevent the sadhaka from saying which teacher.
Obstacles is the word? Obstacles. Chief obstacles, offenses. The chief of the offenses is the offenses against the holy name. And you know what those are. Offending devotees is right at the top of the list. We value and require the association of devotees. At the same time, in the association of devotees, if one is not careful, one can make offenses. And then it becomes a problem instead of an asset. We should be very careful in the matter of how we associate with devotees. Very important. That's an obstacle. Offenses in general. It's an obstacle. The chapter 4 of Madhuri Kandamani covers this. We discussed during one visit here the whole of Madhuri Kandamani. So there are anarthas or clouds or mist that block the sun. And the clouds or mist or anarthas arise from four different sources. So those are sources we should be careful. Essentially, amongst them, offenses against the holy name is the most important. Where our attention should go about those, overcoming those obstacles, what they are and how to overcome them. The fourth one is, then we're a little successful in chanting the loving name, and in that success we try to become the enjoyer of that success. Primitive intention. That stain, it just won't go away. So, here Srimad Bhagavatam, Shushushris, and that takes away that stain. Not like, you know, we should be passive. It's an active process. You mean actively. That means applying what we hear. But the means is provided. That obstacle of trying to be the enjoyer of our little success. Even in spiritual practice. Thank you for that question. That's our class right after breakfast. It's a perfect medium. Exactly how that's the point. You're through the person who is the qualified person. And Shukadeva Dave is not most qualified or representative of. You can find Shukadeva Goswami, that's best. So we can cover that after breakfast. Anything else? Yes.
What does Swarna mean?
What does Harina mean?
No, Swarna.
Shavana. Watch. Thank you.